KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
More than a year into the war in Ukraine, Alaska's government is doing its part by sending aid in the form of Alaskan seafood. KMXT's Brian Venois reports the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is handling the state's food distribution.
Bruce Schachtler is ASME's Food Aid Program and Development Director. He says while ASME doesn't own any of the seafood, they've helped manage the state's aid programs. That includes sending over $300,000 worth of Alaskan seafood, or about 3,600 cases of canned pink salmon, to Ukraine.
We do things on behalf of the legislature of the state of Alaska. Most recently, at request of the legislature, we sent three containers of canned salmon over to Ukraine.
When the state government decides to send aid, they set a budget, and ASME solicits bids from companies across Alaska. Companies then bid on the sale and offer stock at competitive rates to ensure a maximized amount of product. The state has aided in several disasters over the years, and through ASME has sent food to the Philippines after devastating typhoons and areas suffering food insecurity in Africa and the Middle East as well. Schachtler says ASME has a history of running the state's aid programs.
ASME's been facilitating humanitarian aid for the last 20 years.
ASME was asked about domestic food insecurity at a recent presentation to the State House Fisheries Special Committee, particularly as the state has been slow to send food stamps or process applications since August. Schachtler says ASME would be interested in sending food to those in need across the state, but they need funding and approval from the legislature first.
I've discussed it with the State Department. Now, I've discussed it with a few members of Congress in Washington, D.C., but I have not been contacted or heard anything further than that.
If the state decides to purchase domestic seafoods for Alaskans in this year's supplemental budget, aid could be sent to food banks as soon as next week. But if aid isn't included until the 2024 regular budget, folks would have to wait at least until July. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Senator Jesse Bjorkman is taking up a long-fought set net buyback bill in the Alaska legislature this session. Senate Bill 82, introduced by Bjorkman on Friday, would give Cook Inlet East Side set netters a chance to sell back their set net permits to the state. That would reduce the number of commercial set net fishermen on the east side of the inlet and give fishermen a chance to sell out of the fishery, which has been under stress for years among recurring closures and is becoming less and less economically viable for permit holders. The bill is a new version of legislation Senator Peter Michicki sponsored twice when he represented Soldotna in the Alaska Senate. Bjorkman, a fisherman with two current Cook Inlet drift permits, said over text Friday it's the same bill, quote, with very minor differences, close quote. Previous versions of the bill have gotten wide support from set netters who say a buyback would create a more sustainable fishery for the remaining fishermen. The program would be voluntary and fishermen would enter in a lottery. And permit holders would first have to vote on whether they want such a program established and find a funding mechanism. The program would buy permits for about $260,000, which is about 16 times their current value, according to data from the state. Thanks to KDLL's Sabine Pooks for that reporting.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
After days of impassioned testimony, the Alaska Board of Fisheries voted to change escapement goals for Chignik's early and late sockeye runs, which have been severely depleted for years. But the fisheries management will keep an important precedent. As KBBI's Corinne Smith reports, the board voted against Fish and Game's proposed changes, siding instead with Chignik fishermen.
At last week's meeting, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game proposed combining the escapement goals for Chignik's early and late sockeye runs. But the Board of Fisheries voted to maintain the two separate goals. Escapement is the number of fish that make it to their spawning grounds. Many Chignik residents and fishermen testified against the proposal. Some, like commercial fisherman Axel Köppen, worried that it would harm biodiversity and hurt the stocks in the long term.
The department has also failed to model the possible negative effects of these drastic changes and the impact it will have on the genetic diversity, subsistence, and commercial fishermen of the Chignik area. This process has not been open and transparent, nor peer-reviewed, as good science must be.
Chignik's runs crashed in 2018 and have been extremely low since then. The state designated Chignik's early sockeye run as a stock of concern last spring. The department says the single goal could allow fishermen to harvest more fish sustainably. But that claim came under scrutiny during public testimony. University of Washington fisheries professor Dan Schindler.
There is zero scientific basis for supporting 105.
He says the runs are independent of each other and should be managed as such, especially since one is a stock of concern.
You run the risk of preventing recovery of that early run. So you may have interim within season escapement objectives, but without accountability, which is what occurred when you had an early run escapement goal that was explicit, you do run the risk of over-harvesting that early stock.
During board deliberations, Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang said the department's review shows that a single escapement goal would allow fishermen to maximize how many fish they can sustainably harvest.
I'm convinced the single escapement goal meets our obligations as a department to maximize yield. And I think we can manage discrete stocks. We do it in the Copper River, we do it in other drainages using single escapement goals. So I stand by the staff's decision to have a single escapement goal.
Vincent Lang said the escapement goals proposed by the board probably won't allow for the largest sustainable harvest possible. But board chair Marit Carlson Van Dort said stakeholders had testified in support of foregoing harvest to allow the runs to recover. The board passed her amendment, which created new escapement goals for both the early and late runs. It also increased the escapement necessary to open commercial fishing.
And that's intended to ensure a strong start to escapement and enough to provide a decent and reasonable opportunity for subsistence harvest in that area. We heard in public testimony that, you know, these runs are very distinct. They are visibly distinct. They look different. They taste different. There's a lot of things that are different about them, and consequently, they're used differently by subsistence users.
Carlson Van Dort also said that Fish and Game didn't allow for enough time for the public to review what she called a, quote, wholesale tectonic change in the fisheries management. With help from Izzy Ross in Dillingham, I'm Corinne Smith in Homer.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
At last week's Board of Fisheries meeting, a controversial Alaska Peninsula salmon fishery was at the center of a debate on how to protect the record-low Yukon River chum salmon runs. KDLG's Izzy Ross has this report.
The Area M fishery around the Alaska Peninsula and Aleutian Islands is a mixed stock fishery targeting salmon far from their home rivers. The proposal would reduce commercial fishing time there in an attempt to let more chum salmon return to Western Alaska spawning grounds. Some of the testimony at the Board of Fisheries meeting was emotional. Michelle Quillen of Hughes says they can't rely on commercial industry to regulate itself. She called the decline in salmon runs on the Yukon cultural genocide of Alaska Native people.
A lot of change needs to happen, but here we only ask that you pass Prop 140 and limit the time Area M has their gear in the water, because that is the only thing that will work.
Area M has become a focal point in an increasingly urgent debate around how to address declining salmon returns to rivers across western Alaska. This proposal would resurrect a management plan that was in place in the early 2000s, restricting fishing time in a June fishery that also makes up a significant chunk of Area M's monetary value. Fisheries biologist Daniel Schindler says the proposal is reasonable because it provides windows of time for fish to swim through without being caught. He says that the state's most recent genetic study shows Area M is harvesting around 5% of the chum swimming to western Alaska rivers. That may not seem like a lot, but it could make a big difference for weak runs.
It sounds like hyperbole, but when the stocks are on the ropes, every fish does count a heck of a lot more than it does when the populations are at high abundance. In the case of AYK chum stocks right now, it's very obvious to everyone in this room that those stocks are at very depressed abundances.
Meanwhile, people along the Yukon River haven't been able to subsistence fish for chum for years. They also say any additional conservation efforts will help. Many who support the proposal say they haven't been able to get enough fish to feed their communities or pass down traditions. Teresa Clark is a Loudoun tribal member and works for the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council. She says their subsistence needs are not being met, and smokehouses have been empty for years.
We cannot teach our youth to preserve salmon anymore, as we cannot fish for salmon. Our fish camps are not being used, as we have not fished.
Climate change is also a focus. At the start of the meeting, state ecologist Katie Howard presented data on how recent chum crashes correlate with warming waters in the Bering Sea and North Pacific. Howard says the fish were not getting enough nutrients because their primary food sources had declined.
They were experiencing extraordinary heat waves during their first summer at sea, so in these regions. And those that survived to winter then were hit with a heat wave in the North Pacific Ocean. So they just couldn't escape it during their first year at sea.
Some Area M fishermen say reducing fishing time won't significantly help chum salmon runs and ask the board to maintain the status quo. Commercial fisherman Jared Danielson says the proposal to cut Area M fishing time would harm them more than it would help the chum runs.
The low harvest rates in Area M are of low significance to the AYK chum salmon swimming through the Gulf of Alaska. The evidence by Fish and Game earlier in this meeting points to our ocean being on empty, not Area M.
And in the end, the Alaska Board of Fisheries rejected the proposal that would restrict fishing time in Area M by a 3-4 vote. Instead, it narrowly passed a different amended proposal that establishes a 76-hour closure for purse seine gear between Area M's first and second fishing periods. It reduces other fishing time for the purse seine fleet by a total of 42 hours. It also puts tiered reductions in fishing time in place depending on the number of chum salmon caught, and closes the Sanac Island section in June.